was probably some mom saying, what I wouldn't do for that coffee right now. You know, Keith, you had mentioned the reminder of your mother, and as you saw the chair, and actually as I heard that song freely, who remembers when they first heard that or something memorable about when they heard that song? That's an old song. Do you remember where you were at one time when you heard that song? There was, for myself, I was in this little full gospel church up in High Level, Alberta, and the music group was up singing the song, and it's just a little church, a bunch of country folk in it, and just really singing about how freely we have received God's blessing, and took me right back there. It's amazing how songs do that. It took me right back there, sitting on the hard little pews, and that little church is also the church I got saved in, and so fond memories of just hearing those songs once again. Well, we are in a series entitled Releasing the Spirit, and we're in part 5, and the message this morning is entitled Finding Your Niche. Finding Your Niche, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4, and this morning as we prepare ourselves for the message, you're going to notice there's nothing coming down behind me. So today is old school day, and we're going to look up a few verses in the Word, and I'll refer to them, but we have no overhead this morning. Unfortunately, just had some glitches there, and so nothing on the screen behind me this morning, so we'll need to look in our Bibles. Well, over the past weeks, we've talked about how to allow God's Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And it's not that God is not already working in our lives, but as believers, it's important to know some things about how the Holy Spirit works and how we are to walk in the power of His Holy Spirit on a regular, on a daily basis. So over the past weeks, we saw how the Holy Spirit first is a treasure for believers. A treasure that every believer in Christ has within us. Even if we feel broken at times, the Lord is still that treasure. The Holy Spirit is still that treasure that dwells within. And if you remember, I used the story of the water carrier using the cracked pot that spilled water, and still, even in the broken state, was useful in serving the Master. Well, we also looked at our identity as believers in Christ and how we are no longer seen as sinful after we are saved, but we are seen as clean on the inside, even though the outside was once dirty and we had an envelope that was marked up with all kinds of sin. And that's typically how we remember our lives. But when I pulled that little paper out, that paper was a white paper representing the way God sees us as clean and as new. Once again. Well, we also saw how God calls us to life. And to walk in the power of His Holy Spirit, He calls us to life. He calls us to live in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. And the flesh, if you spell it backwards and you take off the H of the end of flesh, you're going to see the word self, S-E-L-F. And that really is what the flesh means. It's living for ourselves, doing things for our own purpose. And we found that as a result of living for God, we produce the fruit of the Spirit, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, as opposed to living for ourselves and living selfishly. When we walk in the Spirit, we begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And then last week, we looked at enjoying the fullness of the Holy Spirit and recognizing that we all need a continual filling. We all need a continual filling from Christ to come in and refresh us. And we illustrated this with during the kids' time with that cup of water that had the stain in it, had the dye in it. And as we poured the fresh water in, it flushed out all of the darkness, all of that that stained water and it became clear once again. And that represents that filling of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit continually pours into us through fellowship of with other believers, through reading God's word, through prayer, through study, and the other essentials of the faith of just coming together as believers. And when we put that as a steady diet coming in, it flushes out some of that old nature. It flushes out some of that sin that tends to linger. So we want to be refreshed on a regular basis and continually be refreshed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And now we come to this morning, and this morning we're going to look at one more key to releasing God's Holy Spirit in our lives, and that is by recognizing the gifting that God has given each one, recognizing the gifting that God has given each one. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Spiritual gifts mentioned in the New Testament point us to where we are to serve, where we are to participate in the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts give us that place to belong. And when we combine those spiritual gifts that God gives us with the passion that he also gives us, and we're going to discover a little bit about that next week, when we combine those, we discover the niche that God has designed just for us to serve within the body of Christ. And I'm going to tackle this topic of spiritual gifts in two messages. So this morning we're going to look at what a spiritual gift is, and next week we're going to look at how to discover your spiritual gift, how God has gifted you. So a two-part message that allows us to delve into what a gifting is as God gives each one of us gifting by his Holy Spirit. So let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we give you thanks for your presence among us. Father, we give you thanks for the gifting that you give to each one. And Lord, today as we look into your word, may our eyes become opened a little bit more to the gifts, the rich gifts that you have for us. And Lord, may we recognize them and live through them to find joy and peace and enjoyment in life. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, there are three core passages where we're going to find the listing of spiritual gifts. And if you have that little study sheet, they're at the very bottom. I put them in there as well. And the spots where we find the spiritual gifts are in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, 1 Corinthians 12, so there's two 12s, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, and then over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And there's a number of gifts listed out. As we look into the Bible, there's some that are in the Old Testament as well, but there are about 20 or more gifts noted throughout God's Word, and some not mentioned in the passages that I just give you, but as I said, they're found in the Old Testament. But you can look at those passages. I put them in there so you can look at those this week. Look up those scriptures and look up the giftings, the gifts that God gives. We don't have time to look at them this week. We're going to look at them more specifically next week. But this morning we're going to look at what a spiritual gift is. So we have passages of scripture that tell us about the gifting that God gives us. So those three passages in particular tell us about the gifting that God has for us. But what is a spiritual gift? What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is defined as a special enabling of a believer to perform his service or her service within the church. So it's a special enabling that allows us to serve within the church. And Paul uses the Greek word charisma to describe spiritual gifts. And the root, it's the this root of that word that we get the word charismatic. And if you were to think a charismatic person, usually they have the ability to be captivating or fascinating or charming or engaging or magnetic in some way. So we think of someone with charisma. We think of them as someone who is it's a go-to person. They're easy to hear, easy to listen to, easy to work with. And people are generally drawn to charismatic people, people that are filled with gifts. So if we look at that word charismatic, it means filled with gifts. There is gifting within them. Not necessarily spiritual gifting, but there is a gifting within them. And we might even, so we might call them gifted people, but just not always spiritually gifted people. But the Apostle Paul, he takes this word a little bit farther. He fleshes it out, and he states that charisma is really the special gift of grace that God gives. Charisma is that special gift of God's of grace that God gives. Not necessarily, it's not necessarily the mode in which it comes. So sometimes we'll think of someone with charisma as someone who's flamboyant and outgoing and all of that. So it's not necessarily the mode of delivery of the gift, but rather it's that you have received a special grace, that you have received something from God particular to you that gives you charisma, the gift. It is a gift that is given to you. So having a spiritual gift means that you've received something special from God to be used for his glory. So a spiritual gift is a special enabling from God that allows a believer to perform their service in the church. It's a special gift that is given. Now let me share some important facts that we all should understand about spiritual gifts. And Dan, I'm just going to get you to turn the fans on there if you don't mind. But some important facts that we should all understand about spiritual gifts. So these are important things when it comes to God's gifting. First of all, every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Now you might be sitting there going, except me. God must have missed me because I don't have anything special. I don't have this special giving of this grace that God has given to, obviously given to others. But here's what Psalm 139 tells us. Psalm 139 tells us that God knew us before we were even formed. And if God knew us before we were even formed, then he surely knows what kind of service we are best suited to within his church. If he knows a number of hairs on his head, and the scripture tells us that, he knew us before we were formed. He knew us. He knows who we are. So he knows exactly how the best way is for us to serve within his church. And so every believer has at least one spiritual gift that is specifically designed just for you. So isn't that interesting? You have a spiritual gift. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are a believer in Christ, you have a spiritual gift. You have something to use that God has given to bring him glory. 1 Corinthians 12:7 tells us this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Paul reiterates this also in Ephesians, to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. And he says, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." So grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. So God has given us through Jesus a gifting. And it's apportioned to it. It means it's separated apart. If you've ever seen a pharmacist in his little office there as he's counting pills to put them in a medicine bottle, he counts out and he has his little stick there and he whips them off to the end and they fall into the bottle. He's apportioning out certain medication for a certain person. And that's exactly the way it is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit apportions out to us, is given to us, the gifting, gives us the gifting that God desires. So a grace has been given us as Christ has apportioned it to us. So we have been selected out, separated out, and given a spiritual gifting or a gift mix, meaning more than one. And the key here to recognize is that even if you don't know what your gift is, even if you don't know what it is, you have one. God has given you a spiritual gift. You might not recognize it, but it's already been apportioned to you. And it's then a privilege and a responsibility to discover what that gift is so that we can use it within the body of Christ. So, first point is that every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Well, secondly, the spiritual gift that God gives, your gift, is not the same as your neighbor's. So just do a look to the left. Look over to your left, whichever way left is for you, that way. Look over to your left. Now look to your right. Yeah, they got something you don't have, and you're not going to get it. Right? So it's sometimes it's like coming to an island. Whatever you bring to the island, you get. And you can't get something else on the island. So for each one of us, God has given us a gift, and it's going to look different than what our neighbor has. Our neighbor might do something similar, but it's a different gifting. God is calling them specifically, has orchestrated their life specifically to minister their gift in a different way than you administer yours. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6 reads like this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So God is at work within us despite the differing gifts that he has given us. So we don't choose our spiritual gifts. God gives them to us. So there's no need then to covet what the neighbor has. And you know what? We spend a lot of times coveting, don't we? You know, we spend a lot of times coveting. We look at somebody's new truck and we go, oh, boy, that would sure be nice. So we look at what someone else has in their spiritual gifting and we go, boy, if I could just be like that person. If I could just do it like that person. And, you know, we get caught up in either being second fiddle or we're not quite sure. We take a step, you know, we try force things and it just doesn't work. And so we end up looking at our neighbor and what our neighbor has and we become dissatisfied with the gifting that God has given us. Why can't I do that? Why is it that I have to do this and so-and-so gets to do that? Why is it we become dissatisfied? We're fickle people, aren't we? We tend to do that. We look at others and we kind of want what they have. But when we look at it in the aspect of God's spiritual gifting, God gives gifting to each of us differently. That person has a responsibility then to use that spiritual gift in a way that God has orchestrated for them. But so do you. You have a specific way to use your gift. But if you're caught up trying to chase down your neighbor or do what your neighbor is doing, you're actually not being true to what God has given you. God has made you special. God has made you in a particularly unique way that only you can administer the gift the way he has given it to you. So we don't have to worry about our neighbors. We don't have to worry about what our neighbors are doing. It's more so about what God is doing through us. And God has a specific place for you, just like he has for your neighbor. And each of you have a different way to express the gifting that he has given within the church. And this is a neat thing. We hear this passage from time to time in James 1:17. And James 1:17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows." You know, every good and perfect gift that he gives to us, that we receive, comes down from the Father in heaven. Isn't that a powerful statement? That we don't have to wonder if we should have something else or try get something else or pursue something else. God gives us a gifting. It comes right from the Father to us so that we would know the gifting that he has. So we don't have to look over the fence all the time, but rather we can be content and enjoy and find enjoyment in the gifts that he gives us. Well, thirdly, spiritual gifts are meant to edify or to build up the body. Ephesians 4, 7 and verse 12 say this. Verse 7 says, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." We read that a little bit earlier. And then down in verse 12, we read this. "The gifts are given," still speaking about gifts, "given to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Why does God give us spiritual gifting? Why does God give us spiritual gifting? Well, verse 12 tells us exactly. To equip his people. So first of all, we're going to be equipped. God's going to give us a gifting, and it's going to be something that is inside of us that we naturally gravitate to. He's going to give us that gifting, and he's going to equip us to be able to use that gift to equip his people for works of service. So we're going to take that gift, and we're going to employ it. We're going to put it into service. We're going to say, where do I need this gift? There are people that enjoy cutting grass. And getting out on a lawnmower is really peaceful for them. And we just passed out a little sign-up sheet for cutting grass. And you know what? The cutting grass, you think, well, that's not a spiritual gift. Like, they didn't even have grass in Israel. You know, the sheep ate it. They didn't have to mow it. So how can that be a spiritual gift, right? So that's not a gifting. Well, we also find in the listing of gifts, we're going to see next week, there's a gift of helps. There's a gift of helps, and some people have the gift of helps. Have you ever, and you'll know this person. If you have a need, there's something going on, you need a hand or you need someone, they're the ones that are going to say, I'll come over. They might be the busiest person you know, but they will take half an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, and they'll show up in your doorstep, and they'll help you with whatever it is that you have to do, and then they go, all right, got to go, and they're gone. They get back to their business or whatever else it is, and you go, well, that was really nice. That was really nice. That is the gift of helps, where people come alongside one another and say, let me help you with that. How can I help you? How can I come alongside? And that's a spiritual gifting. So cutting grass doesn't sound very spiritual at all, except it's a spiritual gifting, and that's a gifting of helps. As people step forward and say, hey, I'll do that. I'm free. I'll do that. And you see how the spiritual gifts work? It builds up the body of Christ. So if we didn't cut our grass, it was just a shaggy place. It kind of makes a statement about who we are as a church. Kind of a careless church. We don't really care that much. We're not going to attend what God has given us. And so here's a way, by making it available to do something very simple, in the gift of helps, to say, here's some grass. Anybody want to cut it? And there's people that are going, I love cutting grass. I'd love to do that. That's the gift of helps. So it's an equipping of the people for God's works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And that happens, that kind of thing with the spiritual gifts happens all over. Gifts of teaching and administration and all kinds of things. God gives spiritual gifts. And when we use them in the church, they are a blessing. So spiritual gifts don't have a hierarchy to them. There's no spiritual gifts that are more important than another. Grass cutting, to be honest, the gift of helps is no more important than the gifts that come for pastor or for shepherd. How is that any more important? Well, we go, oh no, pastor. You know, when we call a pastor in a church, he's the pastor. There's a lot. Wow. But you know what? The gifts of helps. God gives spiritual gifts for people to use them wherever they are at. And so he doesn't give favorites. He doesn't say one is more important than the other. He says, here are the gifts. Go and use them. He just simply lays the gifts there for us, and he says, go and use them. It's up to us to pick that up and to go and serve. And he doesn't value one more than the other. There might be more accountability in one than another, but God doesn't put a value on them. There's no hierarchy. There's no top gift and then the bottom gift. Oh, if you just have that one, oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry, you're just like, you're way down there. And sorry, you had to get that one. Like, they must have ran out when it came to you, and you just got stuck with that particular gift. That's not the way it is with God. It is absolutely level. God gives his gifting evenly to his people, and so one isn't more important than another. And God does that specifically because he knows all the gifts need to come together in order for the body to work properly, in order for the body of Christ to function properly. We need all of those things. We need grass cutters, just like we need deacons, just like we need pastors and teachers. We need all of those people in order for God's church to function properly. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, we read this. For just as a body is one, and as many members, or many parts, and all of the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So it is with Christ. And Paul goes on to say that no one part of the body is worth more attention or glory than the other, because they're all needed to make the body of Christ work. So the foot isn't greater than the hand, because each serve a purpose. And he says, can the foot say to the hand, I don't need you? Well, not really. I don't need you. I'm going to walk over there and I'm going to pick that thing up. Oh, wait a minute. What am I going to pick it up with? My toes? I'm going to use my hands. I need, you know, the feet might take us to the spot, but we need the hands to do the work. We need the hands to keep things going. So when we have the foot, or we see a gifting, there isn't one gift that's bigger or greater than another. They're all even within the body of Christ. So spiritual gifts build up the body, and that takes me to the fourth point. Gifts are given for the common good. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, that gifts are given for the common good, and so there is a unifying component of the spiritual gifts that God gives, so that they are meant to build up the body of Christ. When a church is filled with people serving in their area of giftedness, things run smoothly, just as the Lord intends. Things run smoothly, but when we mind each other's business, when we mind each other's business in a destructive way, we begin to see breakdown. We begin to see strife or discord in the body of Christ. When people start getting into someone else's area of giftedness and they get over-involved and they begin to micromanage, all of a sudden there's tensions that come along, that we feel criticized or we feel evaluated all the time, and we're not able to really minister in the area of God's giftedness that He has given us. And this distraction takes away from what God is trying to accomplish in His church. So when we're minding someone else's spiritual gift, we're out of line. We are simply given our gifting. We are given our gifting to be a blessing. So there's a unity that is to be called on here, because gifts are given for the common good. The gifts are given so that everyone is able to be built up in the church. Philippians 2, verse 3 says this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." And this is really the litmus test for gifts, isn't it? When believers value each other and cut each other some slack and put the other's needs above their own, it's difficult then to become prideful. It's difficult to lord it over somebody when you're actually trying to serve them. Isn't that kind of interesting? That God gives us a gift to be used for His service. And who does service? A servant. Right? So there's a serving that happens. There's a serving that happens. And we are to do that. We're not to get prideful, but rather we are to come alongside and to serve. And if we know what area of giftedness God has given us, it's easy just to come and serve. It's easy just to come and do that thing that God has called us to do. And we don't have to get prideful, because we can't. When you are a servant, when you take on the posture of a servant just doing God's will, there's no pride involved in that. We don't get our heads filled with our own self-accomplishments and demand our ways. When you put others above you, when you don't think so highly of yourself, but rather put others above you, think of their needs, it's pretty difficult. It's pretty difficult to get prideful. See, whatever your giftedness is, we're not here to build our own empire. We're not here to build an empire or to have pride as our chief goal. But rather, instead of drawing attention to ourselves, we are here to serve for the common good of all believers. That's why complimentary words are due. That's why constructive criticisms are necessary, are valuable when they are needed, when they are called on. That's why trusting assurances that we give one to another are important as we build each other up. The gifts of God are given to make the body stronger and to build it up, equipping the saints for the good work that God has called us to do. So let's bring this home this morning. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why should it matter if you have a spiritual gift? Why should that matter? What is the big deal around spiritual giftedness? Well, here is the big deal. Here is the big deal about a spiritual gift. You are needed in the body of Christ. You are needed as a believer, and God has given you a spiritual gifting as a believer in Christ, and only you can do what God has called you to do. your neighbor can't do what God has called you to do. So what is the big deal about spiritual gifts? Well, each one of us has a spiritual gift, and the intent of that gift is to be put into the body, to manifest itself right here within our midst. There's not one that is void of a gift. Every single one of us have one. The question is, are we using those gifts? Are we using those gifts to bring God the glory? Next week, we're going to look at how to discover what that spiritual gift is. So maybe this morning you're saying, you know, I understand, Pastor, there's spiritual gifting, but I don't know what mine is. I don't know what it is God's calling me to do. And next week, we're going to take a look at the spiritual gifts specifically, but we're also going to look at something else called passion. And what is it that you are passionate about? Because when we connect the passion that God puts in our life with the gifting that he gives us, there we will find fulfillment in our Christian walk. So that's going to be next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gifting that you give us, the spiritual gifting, not just talents or abilities that you have given us, but gifting that brings honor and glory to you, and it doesn't draw it to ourselves, but it brings honor and glory to you. Have us this week, Lord, as we read through your word, even if we were to look through these passages that we talked about this morning and look at the different gifting that is there. Father, would you, by the power of your Spirit, open our hearts and minds to where you would have us serve, to our gifting specifically. And Lord, not that you would do that or that we would have a prideful thought in it that, hey, this is me, but rather this is the blessing that God has given me so that I can build up, that I can work within the body and find value and purpose. Father, thank you for spiritual gifts that you give to each one. May we bless you with them, we pray.